Welcome to Enneagram Conversations with Renee Siegel. Maybe you know your Enneagram type, but what's next? Renee uses the Enneagram in conjunction with self-awareness practices to help people better understand the patterns of their type, including patterns of thinking, emotions, and behaviors. The show is highly interactive. Listen or call in to find out how to identify your type. And for those who do know their type, what can you do next to open yourself up to a greater capacity for personal transformation? We all have great strengths, sitting alongside areas that we need to strengthen. It starts with noticing your patterns. You'll begin to discern whether you need to step in and take action or just sit back and observe. Learn how to dance between observation and participation and watch yourself transform. Enneagram Conversations starts now.
Welcome to Enneagram Conversations. This is our first podcast we are launching today, and I am Renee Siegel. I'm your host, and I have as my first guest today, Dr. Pat, who has been really eager to learn a little bit more about the Enneagram since we started talking about launching this podcast. And so today we're going to have a conversation that I hope will invite you in piquing your interest. We were just talking about the fact that when your interest is piqued, it's like as soon as you get a little bit, a nugget, you want more. You know, you really, really want more. So this is for people who know the Enneagram. This is for people who are curious about the Enneagram and don't know the Enneagram. These are people who wonder what that word even means. So welcome. So Dr. Pat, thank you for joining me so much today. And before we get started, I just want to tell you that Enneagram Conversations is going to, we're going to have three episodes that kind of lay the foundation for the Enneagram. And then we're going to have 9 episodes where we go into each one of the 9 types in really, really great detail through the lens of that type. Somebody will come on that identifies with one of those Enneagram types. I will interview them so that you can hear through their own narrative what their experience is as a particular type. So what was your first experience? Yeah.
Well, first of all, let me thank you and congratulate you for this fabulous show. And not only that, more importantly, you know, this is about understanding. And when people look at ways for them to understand themselves and then understand each other and then understand themselves in the context of another, you know, you find that so many assessments, let me just call them that, don't really do it. You know, they get down to a level where there's a lot of labeling or symbolism, but very little explanation. And what my experience of this, since I took the test before our last show and then Jessica took it, we're waiting for Linda. After doing that, what I found was I took the one test in the place you sent me, but then the first time I took it, it was some other place. And what I realized is I looked at the similarities, right? We often look at the differences. But when I started to think about the depth of this and how to really integrate what this means and how it shows up, what I realized is it's so important to really have this conversation with you. Because this is a bigger conversation than I'm a this or I'm a that. That's my experience of it. And so I'm eager today to have a bigger conversation.
Well, we will. And I think, you know, that's so important because there is an academic understanding of the Enneagram where you can go on one of many sites and take a complimentary test or pay for a test or pay for this extensive test. And there are many tests out there that will help you to identify your type. But one thing that's really important is the journey to finding your type is very rich. Because if you're really honest when you answer some of these Enneagram questions and you really begin to grow your own self-awareness, so many of us walk around not even aware of who we are.
Yeah.
You know, we walk around and we d- don't even see our patterns. We don't take responsibility for our thoughts and our feelings and our behaviors because many of us are disconnected from them.
Yeah. You know what I love too about this is as I started to really look at this closer, I love that it's a system. And what I mean by that is I love the idea that, you know, there's a history behind this. And there's meaning, Enneagram, there's a meaning in the word, you know, any or NA or however people say that. There are things that mean that. But this is about a system. And when people talk to me about systems or a systems approach, it's always much more than a static descriptor. And that's what I think is exciting about this.
Yeah. The Enneagram diagram itself, which we'll put up in just a second, is very fluid. There's lines in it and there's arrows in it. And it's meant to, to demonstrate movement, to actual vitality, vibrancy, and movement. And there is not a lot of that that you would find in other what we call personality assessment tools. But the Enneagram is much more than a personality assessment tool. As you refer to the Enneagram, being old, it has roots in all of the ancient wisdom spiritual traditions. So we can refer back to conversations or even written treatise about these patterns of thinking and feeling and behaving over 2,000 years ago. So this has stood it stands the test of time. It's not something that's brand new. And we understand, as we understand ourselves better, we understand our Enneagram type. So the word Enneagram, Ennea means nine. It's the Greek prefix for the word nine. There are nine types on this Enneagram map. And if we could put the map up, that would be really great. So people can just see what that looks like.
Yeah, I think, Jacob, you have the map. Certainly not my map. I don't think you want to stick my map up there yet. although we will talk about that. But also, you know, Renee, as you and I were talking and we've been working together over the past several weeks prepping for the show, one of the things that we talked about is, of course, there's me. But for example, there's me. There's Jacob. There's you now doing the show. Earlier today, it was me, Olivia, Benny doing a show. And when I said to Jessica, hey, go take a look at this, you know, what shows up for you, it always leads to more questions. It's like you want to know more. Can you talk about that? Because I know about systems approach. A system approach leaves you hanging. It's like watching the next to last episode of the Avengers and just hanging and have to wait 2 years for the next part.
Right. Right. And it's a deepened systematic kind of approach. So two things. One is there's kind of a tendency for a lot of people when they first learn about the Enneagram to want to type everybody in their orbit. You know, I want to know my type. I want to know this person's type. And And one of the things that is very responsible in the way that we approach the Enneagram is taking responsibility for our own patterns. And so instead of saying, this is my box, this is why I do what I do, and oh my God, now I know why I don't get along with you because you don't do it my way. We need to set the stage and the foundation for understanding that this systematic way of deepening our understanding is really all about examining what's running the show for each of us so that we can more deeply appreciate and acknowledge and tolerate and respect that others are not in any way hardwired, because this is a hardwired kind of programming. Yeah. A hardwired kind of programming that has us kind of coming into like a worldview, taking on a worldview that's very, very different from any of the other types.
And, you know, I've already got questions coming in here. One question has come in already is, how do the circles work? You know, first to the right is, how do the circles work? There's first to the right, there's high, there's low. And so this must be somebody that's listening and is taking the test as we speak somewhere. Yeah. But I think it's important to really go through and explain some of this to people, because you're going to go right away, like I did when I saw my chart. I saw both the diagram and then I saw the what we're going to talk about today with instinctual variance, right? And I looked at that and I just thought the same thing. How does it work? And well, so talk about this a little bit with the types.
Sure. So each of the 9 Enneagram types has a particular way of thinking, a particular way of emoting or having an emotional quality to their life, and a particular way of behaving. And in addition to all that, what makes it more than a personality system is that there are also essential qualities, divine qualities, qualities that we were thought to have been given to by our creator, whoever it is you pray to. And see as a power greater than yourself. Yeah. And I know in just a few minutes, we're going to have to go to break, or actually less than a minute, we're going to have to go to break. And we will go through the types very briefly and in far more detail in other shows. But more importantly, just understanding that there is a quality of thinking and a quality of feeling and a quality of reacting, and this essential quality or spiritual experience that each one of the 9 types that has, that's very, very different than the other types.
Yeah. And that's what I love about this. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, how does this all work? How do we look at these? And let's say you see something and one of the types are very, very high. And then there's the second one. And then you take a look and you think, I don't have anything going on there in that type. That's what I love about this and working with Renee, because it's not really that black and white, but yet it's exactly that informative. We're going to take a short break, everybody. When we come back, get ready to explore the types. We're also going to tell you how you can do your own test so that in shows to come, you're going to be able to participate and ask questions about yourself. Let's take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back.
When was the last time you had that feeling that you knew something, but you couldn't explain how you knew it? How powerful would it be for your life and business if you could consciously tap into that magic within you? What if you could remember that there's something supernatural about you? Tune in to Absolute Alignment with Christelle Biga when success feels easy. Every first and third Friday at 1:30 p.m. Pacific, 4:30 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Healing has a ripple effect. One person's healing affects everyone around them. This is where the power of sharing our stories can be so important. Tune in to Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge each month on Transformation Talk Radio, as Megan provides you with ways of sustaining radical and powerful changes in your life. Enact the power of radical change. To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Tune in to Transformation with Martinet every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Martinet and her guests are here shining their lights today through empowering stories of hardship and transformation. Begin to see your life in a new light. Visit MartinetEmmons.com and tune in every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific to Transformation with Martinet.
TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Can't get enough of Eye of Soul Radio? Join psychic medium Jamie every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. Take a deeper look at the raw side of spirit. Nothing is off limits. Connect with lost loved ones and explore these vulnerable subjects with the compassionate guidance of psychic medium Jamie. You are not alone. Eye of Soul, Thursdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready to shift your current beliefs about death? From debilitating pain and loss? Follow Angie Corbett-Kuyper as she shares that through choice, present moment awareness, and keeping an open mind. Anything is possible, even in death. Tune in to Beyond Proof Radio with Angie, redefining death and loss every first Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more, visit BeyondProof.com.
Welcome back to Enneagram Conversations. I'm so happy to have Dr. Pat as my first guest as we launch this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, before we go ahead, I want to do one thing because I know we're going to get on a roll here. This is just so fascinating, right? And so informative. And actually, something you said during the break was really eye-opening for me. I want to make sure people know to go to your website. And folks, please write this down. I know, Jacob, you're putting the website down across Facebook right now. And it's urpurepotential.com. And it's the letter U, the letter R, purepotential.com. When you go over there, if you sign up on Renee's site, I think she's offering a complimentary 30-minute consultation, but you have to be one of the first to go over there and do that. And I know this offer will stay open throughout this show and also the replay. So that is so generous, my gosh. And, you know, let's talk about the consultation a minute, because it kind of rolls right into what we're about to talk about.
Right.
And that is, it's a consultation to explain what this is about. So, for example, I think you said something to me during the break about, you know, your type is your type, but you can evolve in other areas. So let's jump in on how this powerful system can help fill in the blanks that many of us don't even know we have in our lives.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, first of all, let me clarify the giveaway, because I will be happy to do consultations for the first five people that sign up for 30 minutes. That's what we're going to do. And so the first five people that sign up for a free 30-minute consultation will get one. And we can do an Enneatyping conversation. We can talk about how the Enneagram might be helpful in people's lives. But yes, I really encourage you to go to the site and sign up. And I am eager to have conversations, because my mission is to spread the Enneagram throughout the world. I think it is an underutilized tool. So yeah, we have only one type.
Okay.
It's interesting, because people say, when I was young, I was this type. And when I got bigger or older, or collected more life experiences, I became this type. Well, what happens is we basically develop a particular type, and that type becomes our strategy to manage our life. And that's why I think a lot of people get confused, believing that that strategy that we use to manage our life, which is very similar to a personality is also a strategy we use to manage our life, is who we are, except that that strategy is not who we are. And that's where that essential qualities, those God-given qualities come in, those higher power-given qualities come in, because we are those essential qualities that have become human beings that needed a strategy to manage our life. So who we are is really divine, and what we do in our life is very human. And that's where the Enneagram really kind of weaves this notion of, I am of something much greater than myself, and yet this is how I've chosen to operate and navigate through life. And so we only have one type. There are higher and lower expressions of a type. I use my little slinky here. You know, when I'm really contracted and really stressed out, my type might look like pretty unhealthy. But as I get more and more comfortable and relaxed and can embrace even my warts and my freckles, the parts of myself that I don't really think are becoming, then I express my type in a different way. And so there are various expressions of types. So when you take these tests, any Enneagram test, it's based on a very average expression of the type. That's important. The more work you do on yourself, the more you are aware of yourself, the structure of this contraction loosens, and you have more access to not just being a higher expression of your own type, but also seeing the value and expressing characteristics of other types, even though you will only have one type in your life. So I know that's a lot. You know, when you start to digest that, that's a lot. It's a lot to think about.
Yeah. I've made a statement to you, and I want to talk about this for a minute because, and I think there are a couple of questions coming in asking about the circles. I'm not sure where they're looking, so I've asked for clarification about that. I said something interesting to you, and I'm willing to share it. What I said was, you know, something that perhaps was a bit out of character with the way my type shows up, right? And you said something to me like, well, you're evolving in that type. And see, that's the hopeful part, right? It's like, okay, something in my life has enabled me to change and to grow. And I think this is true of so many people right now. I think they're coming out of 18 months and they don't even feel like the people they are. And it doesn't mean that their original type has changed. It means that something else has changed to cause some other growth in another type, right? Can you explain that a little bit more? Because I got a couple questions that have come in a bit about that.
Sure. So it's not necessarily growing in another type, although you can have a greater bandwidth to experience and appreciate other types. What happens is you were referring to a time or an earlier conversation where you were able to pause. And
that's what I was talking about.
Yeah. So that's the nugget. So the nugget is that once we learn about our Enneagram types, we have this information. I'm a type one, a type two, whatever. And I learn that this is what type ones and type twos do. And this is what they think. And this is what they feel. Now, if I use that information as a justification for who I am, then all I do is hunker down into my type. If, however, I use that information as a means of expressing some gentle, tender-hearted curiosity about myself and start going, wow, I'm wondering every time I'm in this situation, I do this, I'm wondering why I do that or how that serves me, or even if that does serve me. And if it does serve me, that's wonderful. But a lot of times those thoughts and those emotions and those behaviors don't serve us. That is the pause. That is the growth opportunity that is always there. So when we begin to implement practices related to our Enneagram work, ways of self-examination and growing self-awareness, all of a sudden, a whole litany of possibilities emerge in terms of us being different because we've paused, and then we can either continue on that same road or we can pivot and go, oh, I don't think that was a really good idea for me to start going down that path.
Right. And, you know, one of the things that I love is when I went to the website, and maybe we should tell people where they can go and take the Enneagram test, right? Please give out that website, because this particular example was really interesting. It was not like answer the question. It was one of my favorite type scales in research, where on one side there's a statement, on the other side there's a statement. And what they're asking you to do is to indicate which you most relate to, right? Mm-hmm. If you're in the center, then you're in the center between help people or leave people to their own devices, right? And so you get to decide, well, I help people, but sometimes I leave them. So you may pick the middle, or you may say, I'm a helping people. I like helping people. If I'm not helping people, I'm not doing it, right? And some of these really make you really think. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I love this because it gives you the freedom not to be yes or no, but to give you, approximately here. Talk about this for a minute, because it's a fascinating indicator.
Yes. So the website is www.eclecticenergiesplural.com. And the Enneagram test that will provide you the most information, both of them are free. There are two tests, is the second test. And I like this test. I'm familiar with at least 30 or 40 Enneagram tests. Some of them cost money and some don't, but I love this particular test because it provides you at the end a bar graph a bar graph that shows you all the nine types and how much or how strong each of the types is expressed in you. And so you learn, first of all, for people who are contemplating more than one type, it helps us to see whether or not some of those types might be related or confusing, because there are lookalike types that we'll get into at another time.
Right. Yeah.
But the other thing is that, you know, when you look at the Enneagram map, you'll see how the lines kind of move between those types. And then we can kind of narrow the types down that are related to each other. It also provides you with what's called instinctual variants, which are basically the temperamental way that you express the type or the flavor of how you move about life, whether you're more social, whether you're more self-preservation oriented, or whether you're not more what they call sexual, but it's really more about not sexuality, but one-on-one and more of a close, intimate mm-hmm. kind of, this is my best friend kind of, mm-hmm. and I just glom on to that experience. We'll go into all of that in much greater detail. So you not only get your type in this particular test, but you get your instinctual variant and you see a bar graph. If you take the test or mm-hmm. when you take the test, all you Enneagram aficionados growing out there,
yeah,
make sure you take a snapshot of that bar graph so that you yeah. can begin to kind of discern between types when you're getting close.
Yeah. And that's what we're going to talk about, because I remember taking mine, I think it was a week ago when you came on my show and I did it, and I sent it to you, and we haven't had a chance to really talk about it, because this is a learning process for me. And I think Jessica went and took hers as well. I think Linda just took hers. And so when we look at this, it's important to understand when you get this back, and you'll talk about this when we come back, Renee, when it comes back with the type, it then says like your type, and then it says a W, and then it says another type, a wing, right?
Right. It'll say, that's right. It'll have the wing, which
the
is
wing.
The point that sits
W7
on either side
wing.
Of
wing.
Right. And then it'll say S O S X or S P.
Yes. When we come back, this is just one show of a whole bunch of shows, but what we're trying to say to all of you, and this is why I can't wait to work with Renee one-on-one, because not only are we going to do that, but we're going to offer it to the team here as well, if that's something that they want to do. What if you're in context to others? What if you work very closely with two other people, let's say, and maybe they come back very different? What do you not want to do with that information? This is like super important, everybody. What do you not want to do? And why do you want to work with Renee to really look at the dynamic nature, the gifts, the talents, the hiccups, and what you can grow into? We're going to take a short break, everybody. Right, Renee?
Right.
Boy, this is so good. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back, everybody.
Hey there, I'm Ricky Schwartz from My Turn Life Coaching, Reclaim Your Life. How do you know if you're living your life and not someone else's? Here's one way to find out. First, list out your top five core values. For example, mine are empathy, excellence, passion, service, and core values. Then put those core values into short first-person core value statements. In my case, one, empathy powers my relationships. Two, excellence is the goal in all things I do. Three, passion fuels my perseverance. Four, my value is measured by my service to others. And five, core values drive all of my life decisions. Now ask yourself, am I using my core value statements to drive my personal and professional decisions? Maybe not. Maybe you've never even considered doing so. And that's where life coaching begins. Go to myturnlifecoaching.com and let's put your personal core values into your driver's seat.
Get empowered on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
The Finder of Lost Things, exploring your superpowers of trust, healing, and transformation with me, Hannah Belton. When my brother Christian went missing, I completely denied my grief. We can either transform and transition or we can stay stagnant. This podcast will uncover the process that Christian and I went on to find the lost things, him, and to find the parts of me that were missing. And there's things that are missing in you that prevent you from letting go, whether it's a person, a dream, a lifestyle. That process of trusting and finding the lost pieces and integrating them, that's where you get your sustainable transition that will carry on. Tune in every Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific on transformationtalkradio.com. You can find me at hannahvelton.online.
Are you searching? Looking for a sign? A message you need to hear from the great unknown? From the most mysterious place that is the most familiar to your soul and the depths of who you are. The universe put someone here to talk to, someone God gave a blessing to that you may find insight with. TheAngelLady.net. 1-800-323-1790.
Welcome back to Enneagram Conversations. We are going to talk now about the test a little bit and the actual Enneagram diagram, and then do a brief explanation of each of the nine types so that we don't leave you hanging, because everybody is eager to know about types. And although that's really, really important, this foundational information is also really important too. So the bar graph, this test that I've asked you to take, if you can take one at any test, if you decide not to take the eclectic energies, try to do one that rates how strong you are in each of the types, because the relationship between what shows up as strong and then next strong is going to really help you to kind of narrow down on what actual type you are. We're just talking about that over break. Did you want to add anything about that, Dr. Pat, before we
Yeah, what I wanted to say, and I'm going to remind everybody that they can go to your website, youarepurepotential.com, U, the letter U, the letter R, purepotential.com. I got that right, right?
You did?
Okay. And if they sign up, they're going to be able to get a free consultation with you. What I love about this, and this is what I want to add, what I love about this is I can't emphasize this enough. It is a system. And because it is a system, there is so much great information that allows you to look at a lot of different things in play, or better word, used with or integrated with other aspects. And this is what I love, because I'm sure you've done this for people where you've looked at something and you probably have said, oh yeah, I knew that. I know you said that about me. And I've taken the test in two different places before I knew about the particular place we sent people today. And I'm going to remind them of that. If you want to go ahead and take the test, it's really easy. It's eclecticenergies.com, and make sure you take test two with the variants. And the reason I love this, I also took another one before I even got here. But here's the point. It asks you to ask yourself questions, especially when you look at the types. And you've done this so much that you pretty much pegged me, I think, when you saw mine. But I got a little bit like, I don't have any of that. Or I don't have, you know what I did? I started to go down that pathway. Mm-hmm. I started to look at mine and say, okay, what does that mean that I have this, this, and this? And I'm not sure. I don't have much of this or this. So can we talk about how to help people understand this once they get this, so they don't go down the path of starting to do that kind of analysis so much without learning more?
And that's, again, that's really why having an Enneagram practitioner or somebody that really understands the Enneagram help you out. I can't tell you how many clients I've had that have found me because they wanted to do deeper Enneagram work, and they read a book about the Enneagram, and they typed themselves, and they started to do a little bit of work and a little journeying on their own, and they feel lost. And part of having deep, meaningful Enneagram work is having somebody who is a mentor. There are churches that actually host a lot of Enneagram events, as well as practitioners like myself who are Enneagram coaches and therapists, and Enneagram communities. There are pockets of Enneagram communities all over the United States and all over the world. I mean, there is an International Enneagram Association. There's two very large associations here in the United States, the Narrative Enneagram, which I am a teacher of, and then the Enneagram Institute. But trying to do this on your own can leave you unfulfilled, and having more questions than answers. And a lot of people give up because the system on your own is too complicated to really put all the pieces together. So let's talk about the system and the types. Okay.
Yes.
So the system is comprised of triads. If you look at it, it's a large circle that contains 9 types. And with it, that circle is to represent unity, that we all have come from one, that we may be separate expressions of the one, but we all come from something much greater than ourselves. And within that circle, there are triads broken down into 3 groups. There are actually all sorts of triads, but the triads we're going to talk about today are the body triad, and the heart triad, and the head triad. Mm. Within the body triad are types 8s, 9s, and 1s. And basically, the Enneagram has the study of the Enneagram has a deep respect for the fact that there is intelligence and information that's available to us in all of these centers. Our body offers us information, our heart offers us information, and our head offers us information. We oftentimes get stuck in this notion that we think and we know that our head offers us information, but we forget that there's very valuable information in our heart and very valuable information in our bodies. So the body types are types 8s, 9s, and 1s. And before I go on, all of us have all 3 of these intelligences. You don't get out of life without having a way and believe me, you know, it's really clear when your heart is shut down what the cost of that is in your life, or when you're not thinking clearly what the cost of that is in your life, or when you're not aware of your body intelligence, what the cost of that is in your life. So the goal of good Enneagram practice and study is to integrate all 3 areas of intelligence. So even though your type that you land on may sit within one of those triads, that's just where you begin to look at the world from. That's a kind of a launching point of how now do I incorporate, or which of these other 2 triads do I really need to navigate and grow my awareness in. So types 8s, 9s, and 1s are body types. They are representative of a group that basically manages any type of fear in the world, because there's 2 basic ways of coping with life, through love and through fear. And as humans, we have to have a certain way of managing fear in this human body. So they manage fear through anger. Anger at not having or having or needing to have power and control in their lives. And the 8s do that in a very lustful way, a very direct, in your face, kind of somewhat intimidating if they're not aware of it, way. And they are termed the boss, the maverick. They have the challenger. I mean, there's a whole lot of names for the types, depending on what school you study. But the 8s have a very, very direct, very honest, in your face, type of energy. And for some people, that energy blast feels so intimidating and so threatening. And it's really oftentimes not meant in that way at all. 8s are very focused on justice and the truth and taking care of the underdog and serving the greater good. They can be spiritual warriors at their highest level, and at their lowest levels, they can be megalomaniacs. So you can see how that slinky works that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
And so they have the most direct expression of anger. They see anger as just a really one of many emotions. They are the only Enneagram type that is that comfortable with anger.
Yeah. Boy, you just described me? Jacob's like putting up all the charts and he's like, oh, I just looked at Dr. Pat's chart right there. Well, so Jacob, what that's going to tell you is when I walk into the room and I sound like I'm losing my mind, I'm not really about something. But, you know, you're right about this. Can I ask you a question about this? Because whether you're an 8, whether you're a 1, what I'm about to ask you, I think applies. If you knew me in my 20s, you would not know this person, right? Injustice, I pretty much marched in everything there was to march in. I pretty much was right there in Stonewall. I pretty much was like burning my bra at 19 down in Atlantic City. Now, did I do that in a, hey, can I go? No. Interesting, and not even understanding where the emotion came from. But somehow, something happens in life. And it doesn't mean there aren't things in the world that still don't feel like injustice to me. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't own a network that is all about transformative, positive, and really be passionate about creating a forum for this level of truth and possibilities. And honestly, when people ask me where the idea came from, my only answer is God, spirit, whoever you believe in. It's not my idea.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, some people will say, okay. Other people say, that's no answer. But I don't have a better answer today. Help us understand, as people look at the types, as they take the test today, and they look at this, we go through life, and maybe something changes. Well, what could possibly have changed for me to get me from, I have now busted a pool stick on the pool table and I'm going to protect the people that are close to me, mm-hmm, at age 19, to this becoming this?
It's a higher expression of your type. It's that slinky that's pulled upwards that has you moving. If you look at the Enneagram map from an 8 to a 2,
oh,
it's a part of you that is opened from your body intelligence into your heart intelligence. And when that heart intelligence was opened, it allowed the softening, mm, of the message and it to be heard by more people. And mm-hmm, that's a really kind of an important concept and an advanced concept. And we will come back to that because, yes, I think there's a lot to be said, but I want to make sure we get around the wheel of the types.
Let's get around the wheel. We're going to skip the break. No more questions from me because we got a whole bunch of shows we're going to do on this, thanks to Renee. Get around the wheel. Go ahead.
Yeah. So our type nines also are part of the power and control triad, that need for autonomy and independence and a need to be heard. And so they have dealt with anger in a really passive-aggressive way because they're called the mediators or the peacemakers. And they have basically set their own needs aside to go along, to get along. They want harmony and peace and ease in the world. Oftentimes they've even fallen asleep to their own needs, or they narcotize to their own needs because they see the greater good as being just so important. And actually, I don't even know that they consciously see it. It's just this innate, these character structure kinds of things that we're discussing are kind of innate. They just kind of sit there. The ones are perfectionists, and they are detail-oriented and very, the way that they manage anger is you can feel it. It's almost like they know that anger's there, and they've attempted to put the lid on the anger or push it down or repress it a little bit, but it's still humming in the background, and you can feel it, you know, in their presence because they have a belief that, you know, I must be good. I must be good. The world needs lots of attention and correction, and I am here to correct the imperfections of the world. And that's why I have come forward, is to, that's my purpose in life.
So when an eight says to a one, you seem really angry. Probably don't ever do that. But an eight would tentatively say, you know, I sense you're angry about something. You know, I'm not angry. Right. So this is a dynamic that we have to learn about, because we have to learn how to communicate to each other
exactly
as well.
Right. Yeah. And it's just, you're just kind of touching on one of those benefits that when you start to begin to loosen the type, loosen that, you know, kind of contraction around this is how I see the world, and start to develop compassion for the fact that others don't. It's like, wow, I notice that every time I, you know, say, you must be angry, I'm comfortable with asking you that question, but you don't quite seem so comfortable with that. So can we, like, you know,
there's not a power ask that question quite that way.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So that's the body triad. It represents instinctual intelligence. It represents body intelligence. It represents feelings, but not from emotional feelings. The sensate feelings are five senses, at least, because we have more than that, but our five senses that provide us information through sight and sound and taste and smell and touch. You know, we get lots and lots of information that comes through. Everybody has probably had a time in their life when they've gotten goosebumps, you know? Mm-hmm. And goosebumps may be nothing more than, you know, the air conditioning coming on and giving you goosebumps. But goosebumps happen from more than just a temperature change. They can happen when somebody says something to you and it just ignites a part of your body that you know that something is the truth, or there's something eerie about it, or something strikes you in a particular way. They are body-based intelligence types. And that does not mean that they know more about their bodies. It just means that they access their way of being in the world through how they either avoid or engage with this instinctual body-based intelligence.
And there, let's take a look at some of the other types, because they're related to other things like heart. Yeah.
Right. So the heart types are types twos, threes, and fours, and they deal with any fear or discomfort that they have through being distressed or shameful. And they experience, I guess shame and distress are the two biggest emotions that show up for this heart triad. They have a need to be seen. They have a need to be acknowledged. They have a need to be validated. They have a need to be affirmed. Some of them can be more image conscious than others, but image consciousness can be around, I want you to notice how special I am. I want you to notice how successful I am. I want you to notice how much I give to people. So within those types, twos, threes, and fours, they express that need for validation differently, and they express shame and distress differently. So the twos do it by giving. Twos are basically nurturers, then helpers. They make great teachers and therapists and mommies. And they just by nature are kind of motherly, nurturing types. And they, that's what I'm going to say about
Twos.
Yeah, threes express their type or their need for being seen differently. There's a need for success, a need for performance. In fact, they're called the performers or the achievers. They are oftentimes, you know, very, very successful in business. And so I'll actually come back to the emotional quality.
Okay.
But threes are don't see failure as an option. It's like failure is a four-letter F word. You know, it's like, it's just, I just don't fail. We do everything to avoid failure.
Yep.
A lot of athletes are threes too, because they're very, very performance driven. They might be very competitive. They may feel somewhat like eights at times because they have that very direct energy too. They can be very, very direct. And so they, you'll find their communication is very direct. Type fours are have a need to feel special. That's how they want to be seen. They often feel very misunderstood. They're artists. They're eclectic. They're intensely comfortable with emotion. And so we've and deeply capable of just being with you in your deepest and darkest hour. There are, you know, they can hold a basically a very, very large container for people to be emotional, because emotions in a lot of ways can be very threatening to a lot of people. Deep emotions can be very threatening. So the fours are the only ones who, within that heart triad, even though we're talking about the heart now, within the heart triad, the fours are the ones who are most comfortable with emotion. The threes are very sensitive when you scratch the surface, but if you are just talking to them, they don't look like they have a lot of emotion in their conversation. They see emotion as messy. And twos are very deeply sensitive to the emotional qualities of other people's lives and not their own.
Wow.
So that's the heart triad. Mm-hmm. The head triad, types fives, sixes, and sevens, they are seeking safety, security, and certainty in the world. And so they do that in three different ways. And the fives do that, but they might be called the researchers or the investigators. They do that through gathering information. They believe information is power. They're just the facts, ma'am. Nothing but the facts, ma'am. You know, they are oftentimes deeply, they seem deeply unemotional. It's almost like a head walked in the room. You know, they're sometimes very academic. You see a lot of professors, a lot of architects, a lot of CPAs that are fives, attorneys that are fives, that are, you know, research attorneys. They just really are involved in gathering the facts. They love, love, love information. And so they deal with fear as fear directly. They either move, they feel like if they have enough information that they can mitigate the amount of fear in their life. Mm-hmm. Sixes have a phobic and counterphobic stance. They either plunge into fear or back away from fear. And they're called the loyalists. They have a really interesting relationship with authority. They either love authority or challenge authority. They deal with fear, again, either by, you know, if I'm afraid of bungee jumping, guess what I'm going to do next week? I'm going to go bungee jumping. That certainly wouldn't be my choice. If I was afraid of bungee jumping, it would be off the list. But that's, you know, or they can plunge away. They're oftentimes riddled with self-doubt, second-guessing themselves, playing the devil's advocate, weighing pros and cons in everything, indecisiveness. But they oftentimes will look at what could go wrong. You know, they are very aware of what potentially could go wrong. So they're really important to have in a project, because they can see and take a look at scanning the environment for potential danger and what could go wrong.
Yeah. And this is what we talked about earlier. And, you know, so we're talking about the types, but we're talking about them in the context of something broader. And you were just now talking about the mind, right? And, you know, when we go through this, and what was the last one?
One more type, and that's type seven. And type sevens deal with fear by seeing that we reframe fear. If I'm afraid of something, I'm just going to change it and reframe it into something positive. Or I'm going to have a lot of options, or I'm going to seek out whatever I can do to make myself feel good. I avoid pain at all costs, and I'm the type of person you definitely want to have at a party, because I'm going to make everybody laugh. The glass is not only half full, the glass is overflowing, and we are just going to have some fun, because we're going to look at every potential option on the planet so we can just have a great time. So their challenge is, you know, to deal with the discomfort and the pain in life, because the only way through it to evolve is through it. I mean, I've looked for shortcuts my whole life for pain, and it doesn't work. We have to process pain. That's just part of our journey, right? Yeah. So we have covered like so much today.
It's really good because it really is going to set the stage for where we're going to go and a fuller understanding. Because, I mean, we can talk in specific examples. You know, if in my chart, you know, a seven shows up and it's fairly right up there, you know, am I the person that's trying to put a 45-inch table into an opening in my car that's marginally 43 and try to convince three other people there's a possibility it can fit?
Only
the answer is yes. Really happened this weekend. But yeah, set the stage for what's coming in the minute or so we have left.
Yeah. So what's coming is we're going to be talking next about the centers of intelligence in a much, much broader way. We're going to be talking a little bit about each of the types in a much broader way. And then we'll go into in episodes three through or the last nine episodes, we'll go through each one of the types. I'll have a guest on that identifies with one of those types, asking them questions, and you'll hear through their own lens. Just like speaking about your type through your lens is so rich, you know, versus me talking about it through my understanding of it. It's just so different. So
yeah. And how right on. I mean, you should have watched three people trying to convince me this 45 plus inch table was not going to fit in my 43 inch car. And me trying to get it in there five different ways.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Renee. Thank you for today. We've got much more to come. Okay.
Yes.
All right. For more information about Renee, you can go to You Are Pure Potential, the letter U, the letter R, purepotential.com. Sign up and you get a 30-minute consultation. Much more to come.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Jacob. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Enneagram Conversations. Renee is on a mission to guide people towards cultivating inner observation, which assists with self-awareness and expansion. Identify your type, notice your patterns, and learn how to unlock the higher aspects of your Enneagram type. There is limitless potential inside you already, just waiting to be unveiled. Join Renee next time on this journey of self-discovery and create more purpose and power in your life. For more information about Renee and her work, visit youarepurepotential.com. That's the letter U, the letter R, purepotential.com. Until next time, remember, you are pure potential.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.